B-Pod Studios.
Joining us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast from the NFL Network, and NFL Network analyst, and also, yes, former Giant, our friend Sean O'Hara on the line with us, the Comcast Business Hotline. What's up, Sean?
Hey, top of the morning to you guys.
Hey, Sean.
Top of the morning to you as well. We were just talking about there with the caller. You probably heard some of that. Lane Johnson is going to be back for this game. Matt Pryor, who was on the COVID list because he knew someone who knew someone who came in contact with the COVID-19. The Eagles having at least half their offensive line back is obviously a good sign going into tonight. But that Giants defensive line is actually pretty tough. What do you like about that Giants D line going up against his Eagles offensive line tonight?
Well, the guy that jumps out at you is Leonard Williams, and I know there was a lot of conversation about, you know, the Giants franchise tagging him and, you know, his lack of production last season with sacks. He's getting home, and last year he had a bunch of quarterback hits. This year the sack production is up. He's been a handful, not just in the passing game, but you can't block him one-on-one. Don't put a tight end on Leonard Williams right now because he's bench pressing and locking people out left and right. So he's been a handful. I think Kyler Fackrell has been a nice boost for them on the outside. With Lorenzo Carter being down with the Achilles injury, Kyler Fackrell's made some big plays. Obviously, the interception he returned for a touchdown, but he's gotten home a couple of times. So they're definitely very stout up front, and I think teams have found that, man, Dexter Lawrence, he's a load. This young guy, Austin Johnson, number 98, he's really flashed. And they've got a lot of beef in the middle. Dalvin Tomlinson's really doing a good job. And they're stuffing up that line of scrimmage and letting Blake Martinez just run sideline to sideline, and he's tapping everything in sight. So that's what they got going on up front. And then I think in the secondary, James Bradbury's playing really well. So he's a tough matchup for any wide receiver.
All right. Now, the thing that I'm looking at when it comes to this Eagles offensive attack against that defensive line is their best thing going for him so far this season, especially with the last three or four games, has been Carson Wentz's mobility. He's been able to extend plays, been able to get away from the pocket, and he's been accurate for the most part. He's got a lot of drops, though. When it comes to Carson Wentz's ability to extend plays, how much do you think that factors in a game like this?
It's a huge factor, especially when you look at what you were talking about with the offensive line. They've had five different starting O-line combinations in the league this year. That's most in the league. So, look, they're putting the offensive lineman's names on the back of the jersey with Velcro. I was just talking to the equipment guy, and he's like, look, I'm not even sewing them on because every week it's a different guy. We're just peeling them off. So that's been a big part of it. And look, Mailata's done a good job. You know, he's doing his best filling in a left tackle. You mentioned Pryor, Herbig. I mean, when you look at those bodies, those are big dudes. All right. Those guys are built to run block. They're not built to pass block. So if you're going to throw the ball 45 times a game, guess what? Carson Wentz is going to be running around, and that's just his nature. And he wants to, you know, he's Captain Courageous back there in the pocket, probably holding on to a little bit longer. I call it burping the baby, but he's waiting for the big play. And he's also waiting for one of these receivers to win. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, the quarterback's holding on to the ball. Well, he's waiting for a guy you got man coverage. I'm expecting you to win. And the guy can't win, so now I got to find a way. I got to clean up this mess. So that's what I see a lot from Carson. And you know, look, he's got that never say die attitude that you love as a coach, and as an offensive lineman, you hate because it ends up in sacks. I mean, he's the most sacked quarterback in the league. You would have never thought that coming into the season. It's part the fact that they've got to transition that offensive line, like I mentioned, and it's also part of the fact that he's still trying to learn his receivers and make sure that they're running the right routes. And to me, like, the quarterback position, it's all about trust. All right. You have to trust that your offensive line are going to block the people in front and they're going to protect you. And you have to trust that your wide receivers are going to be where they're supposed to be so that you can get that ball out on time. So when you have all these new guys and all these new moving parts, it's really, you know, the trust factor just kind of is not where it should be.
Sean, three staples of the Eagles' offense haven't really worked out so much this year, and I want to ask you how hard it is for the offensive line to block for designed rollouts, to have a hurry-up offense, and to run screen plays. How hard is it for an offensive lineman of the guys that you're describing that are just coming in plug and play to block for those three things?
Well, it's not that hard. As an offensive lineman, you want it to run a naked bootleg, I'm all for it. Because guess what? That means a plus-plus on my grade sheet, because nakeds are the easiest plays to block for his offensive lineman. You just come out and make it look and sound like run, and you just run really hard and yell and make loud noises, and they think it's a run play. So I love nakeds and screens. Forget about it. As an old lineman, that's a great opportunity, as long as you're not the first man out, and then you look like an elephant on a parade, and you're flopping all over the ground. So these offensive linemen are not built for screens, but I think when you look at what they do best, look, I mentioned it, they're run blockers. Now, no Miles Sanders, things are going to look a little different. Boston Scott, obviously, you know, he had 3 touchdowns against the Giants in Week 17 last year, so this is nothing new for him. But when you look at how they're built, the run game is going to be crucial with this. Number one, it protects Carson Wentz. Number two, you know, how are these tight ends going to hold up? Because now Zach Ertz is out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle. Goddard was already on IR with a broken foot. So now you're down both your tight ends. And I've always told people, you want to run the football, your offensive line has to do their job, but your tight ends at the point of attack have to hold up, and that's going to be crucial.
Sean, when you have a new unit like this, or guys just coming and going, Doug Peterson said in order to get Carson Wentz back into a right spot, he'd like to go a lot of hurry-up offense. Is that... I mean, I think we know how grueling it is for an offensive lineman to do hurry up, but is it hard to do with a group that you're just mingling together?
Well, definitely the communication is huge. And you know, being at home, it's, you know, they're not going to have to worry about crowd noise and all that stuff, so you can talk. You know, everybody has to be on the same page. So when you go hurry up, you don't have a lot of time to have conversation. It's like, you got to know that we are sliding to that Will linebacker. And I may just point, I may not even say anything, but it happens quick. But listen, you say grueling, I love no huddle. I love the up-tempo offense because it gets the other fat kids breathing hard. As an offensive lineman, I'm used to playing 65 plays a game. I don't come out. I don't tap out. When's the last time you saw an offensive lineman tap his helmet and run off the field, not named Lane Johnson? So I think when you look at the offensive linemen, they're built to play 75 snaps. The defensive linemen aren't. They like to rotate. So let's go no huddle and let's make them breathe.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara, NFL Network analyst. Also, Thursday night coverage, of course, continues tonight on the NFL Network, so make sure you check that out as well. Sean, what do you make of Joe Judge? He's a local kid from the Philadelphia area here. What do you make of him, what he's doing with the Giants so far?
Yeah, I tell you what, this has got to be a little tough for Joe, right? Going back to the hometown,
yeah.
And, you know, all his family and friends want to come to the game, but how are the Birds fans going to put on blue? I don't know.
Not happening.
I tell you what, they're going to do? They're going to wear gray. They're going to say, look, we're neutral. they're going straight Switzerland. I think, you know, Joe Judge, I tell you, I've been really impressed. When the Giants hired him, I was like, who is this guy? All right, what are we looking at here? You look at the background, the history, we all know that. You know, Saban, he was down in Alabama with him. He's been up in New England. So it's like, okay, is this guy, you know, for real? The first practice that I went to, and I'm watching, and I'm looking at the drills that they're doing, the tempo that they're doing it. He was doing things that I've never seen done before during the practice. Normally, you would have the ones versus the ones, and the twos and threes are watching all that stuff. Oh, no. He had the ones and the ones on one field, the twos going against the twos on the other field, and they were going on at the same time. Now, I think when you're not the offensive coordinator, you can do that, and you can kind of go back and forth between the fields. So it was highly efficient. I'm very impressed with his ability to coach everything. I mean, he'll go over to the defensive backs, talk to them about angles and pursuit and where to keep the ball, and then I'll go in there with the D lineman, and then he jumps over with the tight ends and the O-line. And I mean, he can do it all, which is great. Has it shown up in wins and losses? No. But I tell you, when you turn on film of the Giants, you could tell that they're being coached. They're not giving up big plays on defense. I think Patrick Graham's done a really good job with that defense and with that personnel. So it's, you know, it hasn't attributed to wins, but you can see growth. I think offensively, that's really where they've been struggling. And losing Saquon Barkley, I mean, the fact that we're doing this conversation right now on Thursday Night Football, and we're not talking about, there's no Saquon Barkley versus Miles Sanders, two Penn State running backs going head-to-head, is a shame. That offense has definitely changed, and they're going through their own O-line growth and battles as well. So, yeah, it's been tough sled early on, which I think a lot of people knew there was going to be some growing pains, but I've been really impressed with Joe Judge, his preparation. His in-game decision-making, too, has been pretty good, and I know that's been something that Giants coaches in the last couple 10 years have struggled with. But I think that the players like playing for him. They like being coached hard. Look, you show there's not a great player in the league that doesn't like to be coached hard. That's the whole point of it. So it'll be interesting to see tonight. I'm looking forward. My buddy Dan Albright is a diehard Eagles fan. He's driving up from down in down by Philly area, and he's coming up here to help me out with something. So I can't wait to talk a little trash with him and maybe put a little wager on the game.
The game is one thing. Looking at the overall NFC East right now, I know every term gets used, dumpster fire, whatever you want to call it. And it's not a bragging right by any means, but do you see the Eagles as the team to beat right now in the NFC East?
I mean, I think they're the reigning NFC champs.
Okay.
And look, Carson Wentz willed them to the divisional title last year, willed them to the playoffs with no receivers. We all watched it. I mean, it was him and Zach Ertz playing catch in the backyard, right?
Yeah.
Now he's got to do it without Ertz. So, it's getting tougher. It looks like maybe DeSean Jackson is going to go tonight. Still haven't seen Alshon. So it's definitely tough, but... You know, look, Dallas can't, you know, I mean, they can't stop a nosebleed. You know, Washington is struggling right now. The Giants are struggling. Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the Eagles, you know, we've talked this entire time. We haven't mentioned their defense at all. And I think Brandon Graham's playing lights out. I think that their corners right now, I mean, when you look at Darius Slay, that was a big pickup this offseason. So I think their defense can really help out. And unfortunately, they're going to have to carry the load until some of these guys get healthy.
Speaking with Sean O'Hara, NFL Network analyst. You catch the game on Fox and the NFL Network as well. Eagles and Giants. Sean, always great catch up. Another guy to watch out for other than Brandon Graham tonight, Josh Sweat. Eagles defensive end who has been playing. I think he's having a breakout season, and I'm hoping that continues against the Giants tonight as well. Sean, great catching up with you as always. Really appreciate all the time you take to come on with us, man. Thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.